As I mentioned at the start of our worship service, we are in an Easter season, a time that lasts for 50 days, and traditionally we hear scripture lessons where Jesus appears as the resurrected Christ to any number of his disciples. And more often than not, when he shows up, they are startled, they're terrified, they're confused, they're amazed, they're excited, all the things at once. And we have this pattern where Jesus walks with them from a place of disbelief and usually does something like last week with Doubting Thomas. He let him touch his hands and his side. And this week, as Jim pointed out, he goes, "Do you have anything to eat?" You know, he's always doing these things or he's trying to help them in different ways understand that he's there, he's alive. And that in some ways, you know, we always talk about Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that's true. And yet at the same time, we get a sense in the resurrected Christ that there is something different that we begin to understand about Jesus, right? Like he's starting to show them a little bit more about who he is and where things are going. And it takes a long time for them to begin to let it sink in, which is why I love that Easter is this season that is given time to grow and develop. It's not just one moment. It's a long season, and it culminates in the fact that Easter then becomes us, right? Pentecost. And Jesus, that's what Jesus is trying to get them to understand the whole time. Now it's your turn. You are going to do what I have done. And don't worry, I'll always be there for you. I've got your back. And so we have been talking about the Easter season in that sense of not only honoring and celebrating, of course, the gift of resurrected life and the ways that we can trust and promise in Jesus. We also are talking and reflecting a little bit about what Jesus is trying to help us understand in the Easter season of getting ready to get out there and be like Jesus in the world, which is why we have this theme of being ready to launch. And last week, I gave those of you who are here homework. Don't worry, I'm not going to stop and individually ask you to turn in your homework. But the main homework, as we were talking about last week, was thinking about what is it you're aiming for? What's your mission? Where are you heading, right? And that might be for your own life or as well as the life of the church. It was intentionally open-ended because the Easter season is meant to help you think about, like, where is God leading me? What am I aiming for? And I used the image of course, like when you're aiming for something and being launched to go do something, which is part of our Christian life of adventure, I use the image of a rocket. And of course, had the balloon as the simplest version of the rocket, and it just went spurting everywhere, right? It was not a very helpful rocket. And I pointed out that for a rocket to really aim and hit the mark, it needed four systems. It needed a propulsion system, right? Something that was going to thrust it forward. It needed structure in order to help get there successfully, because of course the structure can have an incredible impact on how it's aimed and how successfully it will hit its target, as well as sustain the pressures of being hurtled, you know, at great velocities somewhere. I also talked about how a successful rocket needs some kind of guidance system, as well as the fourth, which is payload. And today, as we continue thinking about getting ready to launch, I want to think about one particular part of the rocket and what it takes to be successfully launched, and it's to talk about fuel. Now, some of you might be wondering, man, has she really gone off the deep end? Because I don't see the connection to our scripture lesson at all. You know, why is she talking about rocket fuel? Jesus was talking about breakfast. I want to go with you on a little bit of a Greek word hunt. Okay, and give me a little bit of a moment of privilege, because when you see our scripture lesson, of course, it's a story where Jesus appears to his disciples. He convinces them he's alive. He gets them excited that this is really happening. We talk about how he opens their mind. They begin to understand. And then he gets to a point where we hear at the end, which is the punchline, it says, "Look, I'm sending you," right? He's getting ready to launch them. "I'm sending you what my Father promised, but you are to stay in the city until you have been furnished with heavenly power." And this is really a key part. This is what I'm talking about with our Easter season. Jesus, once he gets in there and people understand what he's about, he's like, "Now it's your turn. I'm going to send you." And he said, "You have to wait, though. You have to wait until you have been furnished with heavenly power." Now, in the Greek, that power verb is dunamis. And you might recognize that as a root, right? Dunamis, dynamite, power. Like in the Bible, that sense of power, which also, by the way, is what is described on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is described as power. In many ways, Jesus is talking about how we have to have the right kind of power to fuel our lives, right? It's really important for him to know the things that motivate us and are propelling us forth are going to be the right sources of power. Because when we have other sources of power that might fuel us, we can easily get into a big mess, right? Look, I have some smiles over there. Hopefully some of you may have experienced that in your own life, like when you've had a good source of power motivating and pushing you forward, and when it's gone off the rails. I have such a long list of launch failures that we could probably deconstruct them all, right? And so Jesus is saying, before you get ahead of yourself, before you get too excited about following me into the world, I want you to stop, because I need you to wait and fuel up with the right source of power. And I think that is a really timely point for us to think about right now, in not only in the Easter season, about what fuels us, what motivates us. Really, that's important in any time in our spiritual life, but especially right now, because we have a lot of conversations culturally about kind of use of power, right? And how that can get a bad rap, how that can get a good rap. I mean, you name it. I'm not going to go political. I'm not going to get into specific examples. I'm just saying we do tend to talk a lot, especially right now, about power, and sometimes talk about it a little too simply as it being a good or a bad thing. And I want us to imagine and kind of get into this sense of what does it mean to harness power, have like a great propulsion system, so that way we can be launched into the kind of life that God wants for us. And so you all have to humor me some more, okay? I know I mentioned last week that I get really excited about space and rockets. And so heaven help you all, because Easter's a 50-day season. But I want you to think, as we're thinking about what's fueling us and our propulsion systems, I want to share with you another image that might help you also think about fuel and power. And it has to do with the system of combustion, right? Because often when we think about what fuels us and how it's powered, we tend to think a little too simply. We just tend to think like a one-to-one correlation, like I have intake this one thing and that's going to fuel me. But that's not how propulsion works, right? For any of you who have ever taken kids to the science museum, or any of you who have ever served as science teachers, you know that in order for there to be fire, it's not just fuel, right? I know that Tom Bailey's here, and I know Scott Parr's here, right? Yeah. He's like, "You are preaching to my love language today." You're welcome. All right, so I'm going to put Tom on the spot. I swear, I didn't even ask Tom. Tom, in order to have fire, You can't just have fuel, right? It takes more. It takes three, like a trinity of things, like a triangle. Okay, so Tom, in order for there to be fire, okay, so now we don't have fire. What do I need, Tom, in order for there to be fire?
I think you use that to take the oxygen away.
Oh man, you need oxygen. Okay, so you need oxygen. What else do you need? You need the fuel. And you need some heat or ignition source. So we do have fuel in this tank. Whew, he's really glad that he got that right. He's a smart guy. You all should be worried every time like there's a different series and you're like, oh no, she's going to talk about this. So we know that there's fuel in here. If I cut off the fuel, same problem, right? It wouldn't stay lit. And as Tom pointed out, I managed to stop the combustion because I took away the oxygen, right? So that's why our acolyte bells are there to remove the oxygen. Eventually, there won't be enough. So you need all three. You need fuel, you need oxygen, and you need some kind of heat to help get it going. And once that happens, then in this case, I mean, it's not launching because, of course, there's no thrust in this, right? So we're safe. But but we're just thinking about that with our fuel, because when it comes to our propulsion systems and the things that move us, often we just think it's like a very linear thing, like it's just one thing. But what happens? It's like all those things combined. And when they move together well, like this is really nicely balanced. This is a very pleasant flame. I will tell you that I'm not allowed to control the candles, because when I do it, I tend to like stick the wick up too far. And then it's you know, got this raging fire, and you know, Michelle is very gentle with me and she takes care of it, and they make sure I never touch it again. Or I dump the oil everywhere, which of course is a problem, right? Because if I don't contain the oil in the system and it's leaking all over the place, what would have happened in this wonderful system if my oil was, you know, all over the sides? You could just imagine the excitement that would happen. And so, you know, it all has to be the right elements and in balance. And when it's all working together nicely, there's a great effect, and there's a good outcome. And I want you to think about that even as you reflect, because last week when I'm asking what you're aiming for, you're actually still working on that homework. I don't think any of you actually finished it yet. If you're like me, it takes my life to figure out what I'm aiming for. But I want you to think about this week, in addition to what are you aiming for, I want us to think a little bit about what is fueling my life. Like, what is powering me? And because it's not going to be as simple as just one of those pieces. It's like the fire triangle all together. There are these pieces together that are going to ignite and move my life and the work that is before me. And when they're well balanced, when they're contained, when they're lined up nicely, man, I can reach the moon. I can do incredible things. When they are misaligned or something's going wrong, we know that it can get dangerous really fast, right? And so these things have to be taken. I say it, you know, I start by joking around a little bit, but the point is that they are actually very incredible things. And so we have to take them seriously, because when misaligned, we can see just how deleterious and just horrible things can go if it's not right. But that also doesn't mean that we're not meant to go out and give it a try, right? It doesn't mean that we should let our fears stop us from getting ready to launch and go. Last week when I talked about the balloon, I showed the example of the balloon, and of course it doesn't have the four systems of the rocket, it just kind of spurts around. But I mentioned with the balloon that there's another thing you can do with the balloon, and you can just tie it and then hold it, and it looks cute, right? But that's not really, I mean, it's aesthetically pleasing, but it's not really doing anything. It's not launching out there. It's not going out there. And so that's some of the things that we have to keep in mind, is that in our Christian life, we have this natural concern where sometimes, because maybe we've tried to launch or go before and we've seen it go horribly wrong and don't want to risk launching again, we might let our fear kind of take over, and we create just this sweet little model rocket that never does anything. And it sure looks pretty. And I can dust it and, you know, hold it and go, aren't rockets great? But it's meant to do something and go somewhere. And that's the same way it is with our life, is what does it mean to take seriously the fact that my life is meant to be launched out there into the world, and that God is there to help me get ready for an incredible journey. And today, we know that in getting ready for the incredible journey, Jesus also says to us, hold your horses. You know, don't just go out there without taking things seriously. You need, first step, you need the right source of fuel. Because unless you're furnished with heavenly power, it's not going to go well at all. And so today, as you reflect on this Easter journey and how God is aiming your life to do something incredible, I want you to think about, what is that kind of heavenly power that God is waiting to furnish in your life? What is it that Jesus is waiting to share and give with you? And if you are kind of at a loss and maybe newer to your faith or not sure where to even begin, I want to share a few tips and thoughts about knowing about whether it's probably God that's furnishing with you, or whether it might be, you know, kind of one of those fuel sources that you should maybe be a little wary of. The first is recognizing in our scripture lesson here, as well as many of the other scripture lessons, is that when Jesus shows up in their lives, as I mentioned earlier, they usually start afraid. They often start by hiding. Sometimes they're even back to doing to what they used to be doing, as if like Jesus never even showed up in their life. But there's some desire to be contained and small. And Jesus shows up. And every time in the story, we see that when Jesus enters in and begins to fuel their lives, they are overcome with wonder, awe, joy, you know, all the fruits of the Spirit. These things start permeating their lives, and they become radiating. Like, they can't help contain. That's become the power. That's become the fuel. They're not worried so much about the fears that were holding them back. They are ready to go, and they begin to have a strength, right? Like a courage, a resiliency. And it's not just recklessness. It's not a desire to dominate, but they are just ready. And often, especially in the New Testament, when it talks about that transformation, it's really genuinely showing that they are ready to live just like Jesus lived. And it is incredible because their stories talk about how they too were able to heal. They too were able to show miracles in their lives wherever they went, and that they were unafraid. Well, I don't know if that's fair. They were willing to walk through their fears in order to fulfill their missions. And repeatedly, we see them living singularly in the ways of Jesus, doing things that we think are like storybook tales, but were normative for those early Christians. And they show and remind us that when we allow God to become our fuel source, when we allow God to speak peace into our lives, we too, like the disciples, are able to let go of those fears that were holding us back. And we find ourselves eager and ready, regardless of our age or stage in life, to take on the adventure that God has set before us. It does require a shedding of the fear. It does require unhooking from toxic fuel sources. It does require listening to a different voice. But those things are for next week's episode. So for now, I encourage you in your week of reflection to not only continue to reflect on what are you aiming for as God is getting you ready to launch, but to reflect on what is fueling your life. And more specifically, what is it that you need to unhook from, right? What are the things that are fueling your life that you don't want to have fuel your life anymore? You're ready to let go of so that you can wait upon the Lord and let the Lord fill your life with heavenly power. Because he's ready. The question is, are you? Amen.